Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado, there's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's dive in. We got a little bit of everything in this hour. We got some hockey coming up in a couple of minutes, college football later in the hour. We'll tell you a bit about Guns N' Hoses being back after missing last year because of COVID concerns. They are back this year, and coming up on Wednesday, they're going to get it going again. And we'll tell you all about the event, the Backstoppers, which is the organization that benefits from it. Tell you how to get tickets, all of that with Steve Holly coming up in about a half an hour. I wanted to finish the thought I was getting into at the end of the hour about those on-field changes, right? I mean, the universal DH seems to be assumed to be coming in. The pitch clock seems likely. I know Rob Manfred likes it. They think that they got positive results on it in the minor leagues. And you know, I'm not sure it has the greatest impact, and I certainly would say that you don't really want to put too much time pressure on things in big games or big moments, you know, like in the postseason. I know that's kind of the part that I wrestle with. I do understand, you know, wanting to keep things moving. And I think there are other ways to do that, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. But I do think there's a chance that comes in. The other thing that people have talked about, I'm not sure that they've gotten enough results yet on what they saw in the minor leagues to determine whether it's a good idea, but a lot of people like the idea of limiting and or banning the shifts. And here are the questions that I have about that, because I am not a fan of banning or limiting defensive teams shifting defensively. Number one, I think it's going to be counterproductive to what people think. You know, like right now, the shift, as it's employed, should be incentivizing hitters to, quote-unquote, use the whole field, right? Now, we know that it's not because, number one, that's not as easily said as it is done. I mean, not as easy. It's easier said than done. It's not an easy thing to do, especially when teams, when they shift you, they pitch to you according to their defensive positioning. So if they're playing you to pull, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of pitches that are easy to take the other way. You're going to get fastballs in. You're going to get soft stuff away. And that's how teams are going to pitch to you when they're playing you to pull. So, and ideally, obviously, with the shift on the infield, they want you to pull the ball on the ground because pulling the ball on the ground in that scenario means you're going to be out. So, number one, I don't think it achieves the one of the things that people want, which is a different approach from hitters. In fact, what you'll be doing by limiting the shift is incentivizing people to sell out even more to pull the baseball, because then there won't be as much penalty if you pull the baseball and it happens to be on the ground. So I do think that there's a potential that that would even enhance the swing for the fences, you know, three true outcome whole thing being exacerbated a little bit. But even aside from that, how are we going to do it? Like, I understand how people have said you want, you know, infielders have to have feet on the dirt. Well, no, they don't, because a lot of infielders don't start with their feet on the dirt even when they're playing straight up. They start with their feet on the grass, and then they move into the dirt to field the ground ball, because obviously a little bit further back gives you a little more range, especially at second base. And I've heard others say, well, you know, you can't have more than two infielders on either side of the second base bag, which, again, all right, fine. You're still going to get teams that are going to put a player, like, right behind the bag, and you'll still change the defensive positioning. But I understand that. But are we going to limit shifting in the outfield? Are we going to limit where the center fielder can move to, or how deep a right fielder can play, or how close to the line you can play? I mean, this is why I'm not a big fan of the idea, because I just think there are just too many questions about what are we limiting and how are we limiting it. If we're only limiting the infield on shifts, well, then all we're going to do is increase ground ball singles to the pull side. That's it. That's all you're going to get extra. And again, you're incentivizing people by doing that to sell out to pull even more, because they'll get more benefit when they pull the ball and it ends up in for a base hit. But that, I mean, like those extra singles that we're talking about, those aren't going to fire up the game like that. Like, you know, like doubles might do that, triples might do that. So to do that, you have to limit the outfield moving around. Well, okay, so now we're going to, you know, if we're going to limit that, how are we doing that? Are we measuring where the outfielders are? Are they going to have to be, you know, tagged on a GPS? You know, wear a little GPS monitor in their pocket or put one in their hat so that we can see exactly how far we're going to draw lines in the outfield that show us where you can and can't be? Because if you're only limiting the shift in the infield, well, you're only adding singles. And even that, you might also be adding some strikeouts, because, again, you're incentivizing people to sell out pulling the ball, because pulling the ball is where most hitters have the most power, and power is what gets you paid. You know, people have talked about this forever, you know, like, why is everybody selling out for power? Because that's how you make more money. And also, by the way, extra base hits, home runs especially, are also how you create instant offense. And with pitchers being as good as they are across the board, throwing hard with high spin rates and, you know, throwing specific pitches that complement each other and tunneling pitches so that they look the same, with all of that, it's really hard to string together three or four or five hits in an inning for a rally. It still happens, but it's not as easy to do as it would have been 20, 25 years ago. That's why power sells, because power, home run is a rally all by itself. You know, a walk and a homer is just as good as a double and three singles when it comes to the offense, when it comes to the number of runs it's going to lead to. So I'm not sure that limiting the shift actually accomplishes much. But I have a real maybe it's a mental block when it comes to the idea that we're only going to ban infielders from moving, but we're not going to stop outfielders from positioning themselves for players that are going to pull or, you know, whatever. I'm not really sure exactly what we're talking about here. And if we're not going to ban shifting in the outfield, well, then that takes away doubles and triples. People are always like, why are there so few triples? Because the outfielders position themselves, so they take that stuff away. Because they know through all of the data that they've gathered where the doubles and triples go with each hitter. Like, when they hit a double or triple, where do they hit it? Well, okay, then we're going to take that away. So I'm not sure if that's got enough support yet or not. I still have concerns about it. I don't think it's – I guess the biggest thing is I just don't think it's going to fix what people think it's going to fix. I mean, all right, you know, so we'll add a few more ground balls in the hole between first and second base that are base hits. All right, how many is that going to add a game, one or two? How much offense is that going to generate? How much excitement is that going to generate? I mean, again, it can, but I'm not sure that by itself does a whole hell of a lot. And again, are we expanding the shift to include the outfielders? And how do we measure where the outfielders can and can't be? Again, do we have to put lines in the outfield? You cannot go past this point. You can't start the pitch or start a play on the other side of this line. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But you know, I'm not sure that banning shifts only in the infield makes a whole lot of sense either, unless all we care about is throwing in a bunch of singles. All right, so stick around. We got college football to close out the end of the...
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour. We'll tell you about what's going on with Guns N' Hoses with Executive Director Steve Holly in a little bit. And obviously we got some Blues hockey coming up next here on KMOX. All right, let's talk a little Blues. Nice bounce back last night. You know, I talked the last couple of days about the team coming off the four-game losing streak and the loss, especially the loss to Arizona. I mean, I think the other ones, they're all kind of, you know, this is a dumb way to put it, but they're hockey losses, right? I mean, these are things that happen when you're playing kind of mediocre hockey and you're playing good teams. You know, that's what happened over the course of last week with the loss to Nashville, the loss to Carolina, loss to Edmonton. You know, you're playing mediocre because they weren't terrible during that stretch. They weren't awful, but they were just not good. And when you're mediocre against good teams, you know, you're going to lose some games. And you know, the game against Arizona was losing to them is bad, but it was a good bounce back last night with the 4-1 win, just sharper across the board. Good performance from Villahuso. Couple of goals for Brandon Saad. Kyrou got in again. Robert Thomas scored a goal. So again, it's just an overall more solid, well-rounded performance. And, you know, then today I saw the reports from JR and Jim Thomas and the guys talking about how Craig Berube was riding the guys at practice a bit today, staying on them, you know, barking a little bit here and there. And like that, you know, just sending the message like, hey, we're not done yet. That's just one game. And I like to hear that kind of, I think it's one of the things I like about Craig Berube. And by the way, I want to bring this up too. We don't have any need to be talking about coaching changes or anything along those lines. We know that this coach can do the job. We know that he did the job in 2019, obviously, but they've also been good since then. You know, when COVID hit in 2019, 2020, they were the best team in the Western Conference at that time. And while last year was kind of funky, last year was really bad for missing players, you know, and I mean good players. So, you know, there weren't very many times where they had everybody that they expected to have. I mean, Parayko had the back and was out a lot, and Vlad didn't play much, and you know, he had different injuries for Schwartz, and all. I mean, like it was a bad year in that regard. So you know, I haven't heard much of it, and you see it a little bit here and there. Like, is Craig Berube potentially on the hot seat this year? I don't think that should even be a consideration. Not unless this team goes into like a month long tailspin that they can't find their way out of, and even then, I'd probably argue just roll through it. You know, your biggest problem at the moment, I think, is your defense. You're having a hard time finding the right pairs. You know, you don't have the size that you used to have back there. You know, they're still trying to sort out that top pairing. And, you know, when we talked to Darren Pang earlier in the week, you know, he made the point about Bouwmeester, and obviously Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo, especially during the Stanley Cup run, that pairing was just solid, nonstop, just lockdown defense. You got two guys with long reach who can use their size and their strength not to beat the crap out of people, but to take away their space, you know, to take away the time that they have to make decisions because of their reach, because of their size. You know, that's something they still haven't figured out a solution for. And, you know, to me, that's that's arguably the most important thing that they need to fix when you, especially when you're looking at some of these one-goal losses. If that pairing, if the top pairing was just 20 or 30% better, instead of having seven total losses this year, two of them in either overtime or shootout, you might have three or four total losses. I mean, any of those games could have been swung by the smallest of things in one-goal games. So I'm not, like, to me, the game against Arizona was bad. I mean, you know, the team's got to wear that. But overall, it hasn't been bad across the board. In fact, you're getting a lot of great production from your forwards. You know, a bunch of guys there having really good years. And, you know, and the new guys are finding roles, and they're starting to produce. You know, Buchnevich is starting to produce more. He's got 10 points in 14 games now after a little bit of a slow start. You know, Brandon Saad's got 6 goals in 12 games. He had 2 of them, obviously, last night. So, you know, I think the forwards are going to eventually, well, even now I think they're solid, but I think that's going to keep going and keep being the strength of the team. Once they find some answers on the blue line, they should stabilize. And, you know, then we can evaluate a little later. But I think this is a team that has the ability to be a team that can go on a big playoff run. But it's not about, you know, it's not going to be able to look like it has here in the last couple of weeks. You know, that's not the caliber of team that's going to make a run. But I don't know how many times I'm going to go back to this. Probably not too much more. But, you know, we understand that this franchise was in a horrific place in January, the year they won the Stanley Cup. So we know that you can look bad for a really long time and turn it around, which is why nothing that's happened here in the last couple of weeks is panic-inducing. I mean, it's concerning, and it's certainly stuff you want to see turn around, and you don't want to be losing games to stinking Arizona. But so much time to sort through this, and so much talent on the roster, especially amongst the forward group, that it's pretty reasonable to argue they're going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine. Now, what does that mean at the end? I don't know. I mean, I think what matters more than anything for this particular roster is that when you get to the playoffs, you know, we get to the beginning of May and the playoffs are kicking in, how are you playing at that time? How's Jordan Binnington going? You know, how are the special teams at that time? Because over the course of 82 games, all of this stuff can level itself out. The question's going to be, what do you look like at that time? You know, when that first playoff series starts. Because, you know, you go back to, you know, the post-COVID return to the bubble. I don't know that we ever have a really good understanding or explanation, but the Blues just played like crap. They just did. I mean, you know, coming back out of the end of that, it was just, it's not good. And, you know, they weren't the only team that had the awkwardness of coming back after the layoff. Everybody dealt with that. But, you know, for whatever reason, they just did not feel, they just didn't play well. I mean, they've all talked about it. Craig Berube's talked about it, and the whole group has. So, you know, it just illustrates, it's about what you are at the moment when the playoffs start. And yes, setting yourself up for good seed and good matchups and all that is a big deal. And over 82 games, I think you'll have these ups and downs, and you're not going to sweat that too much. So I guess what I'm saying is we got a long ways to go before we're going to know exactly what this team is capable of, but I think they're capable of making a big run. All right, we're going to wrap up the hockey stuff for tonight. Next up, we're going to tell you about Guns N' Hoses. It's back. They've got obviously a great lineup of entertainment, great lineup of fights coming up on Wednesday night. It's a pre-Thanksgiving tradition in St. Louis. We'll tell you about how to get tickets, how you can get back into the building, how you can have all this kind of fun and help out the Backstoppers with Steve Holley, the Guns N' Hoses Executive Director. You're going to join me next here on KMOX. Back in on a Friday night here on KMOX. And, of course, next week is Thanksgiving week. And there's a big tradition in St. Louis that goes along with Thanksgiving week, and that is Guns N' Hoses. The Budweiser Guns N' Hoses is back coming up this Wednesday, November 24th, after a year, like so many other things in sports, of being disrupted by COVID. It's all back, and we're looking forward to hearing about it. Steve Holley is the executive director of the Guns N' Hoses event. And, Steve, first of all, thanks for doing this. And second of all, I'm sure you guys are thrilled to be getting this back on after, like, everybody in sports last year had to deal with things not being the way that they normally are.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kevin, and you are right on the money. We are glad to be back because, for us, it's all about raising money to support those survivor families of first responders that get killed in the line of duty. And unfortunately, this year, this is the most we've ever had. We've got 10 first responders that were killed in the line of duty that we're going to be putting their portraits in the ring and raising money for their families as well as the other families that the Backstoppers support.
Well, it's such a great organization, and I know, Steve, you guys have supported them forever. I've taken part in some other fundraisers that go to them, and I know the event is great and fun, and obviously it's to help all of those families, but, boy, that definitely hurts a bit to hear that it's that many families that need help this time around.
Yeah, it's tough, and people always ask me what I would like the future of Guns N' Hoses to be. And I always tell them, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to exist because no first responders would get killed in the line of duty. But reality tells us that that's not going to happen. So we put the biggest and greatest fundraising event for first responders on every Thanksgiving Eve.
Well, it's been immensely popular in the past. Have you run into any challenges, Steve, or find any new ways of going about things after having a year? Unfortunately, a year you don't want off, but having a year off, I know you guys are back for the first time in 2 years. Is it the same setup, the same programs? People expect the same thing, or have you guys tweaked anything?
Well, as far as the production of the show, they're going to see things this year that they've never seen. I will tell you this without sharing the guest, but within the first 5 minutes of the live TV broadcast, we have two worldwide icons that will be delivering messages to the fans. So that's a first for us. We're also going to be on live TV. We're going to be on Fox 2, and we've got a nice little camo X flare as Tom Ackerman is going to be our anchor, and Amy Marskors is going to be our blue team captain. So nice. We got all kinds of goodies planned. It's not a typical boxing show. What I like to say is, it's the biggest wedding reception you ever been to without a wedding.
Yeah, that's a good way to
now
put it.
Now you got a visual, right?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's what we're trying to get to.
What I want to know, Steve, is it a normal set of families, or is it crazy families like my family?
No, it's we do position it as New Year's Eve for first responders, but we are very family friendly. You'll see a lot of folks that bring their kids down for the experience, so they can see what happens with these first responders. I mean, we got bagpipers. I've got a 13-year-old girl that's going to sing God Bless America. Jackie Smith is going to sing Danny Boy.
Oh, great.
Our end-of-watch ceremony rivals the Olympic ceremony. So it's all about the production, and what better way to share that with young folks than having their parents bring them down to the event.
So let's talk about the important stuff here. Tickets. Obviously, you have some available. Where can people get them? I know they're available on Ticketmaster.com. Is that the preferred way to go?
Ticketmaster.com right now is going to be the best way to go. Unfortunately, our website has crashed due to the demand. I mean, it's good news, bad news. Good news is that we got a lot of people wanting to come. Bad news is the website crashed because there's just too much traffic out there.
Wow.
So our web team is working on it. But we would suggest go to Ticketmaster or, you know, go on down to Enterprise and buy your tickets. We got plenty of good seats left, and you know, we're very, very family friendly on the prices. $40 in the lower bowl, $20 in the upper bowl, and there's no bad seats at all in the house because of that jumbotron in the boxing ring is dead center of the ice.
You know, I've covered hockey games there forever, Steve, and the press box is one of the best seats in the house, and that's at the very top of the building. That's a great spot
Absolutely.
To see what's happening.
Yep.
So aside from that, obviously people can also find you guys on Facebook, facebook.com/Budweiser Guns N' Hoses. What would you say about people that may want to show up on Wednesday? They don't know for sure now if they have the time to go or whatever. I mean, can you get tickets at the door if you show up?
Yes, tickets will be available at the door. And basically, we're going to have a doubleheader. Our first bout is going to start at 5:30, and we're going to go from 5:30 to 6:45, and then at 7 o'clock we're going live on Fox 2. So we got a doubleheader plan for everybody. We're going to do a total of 11 matches,
nice,
which are all first responders competing against each other. And we're just going to have a good time and raise some money.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, let me ask you this, because I know people ask me this all the time when it comes to events like this. Is there a way for people that are maybe traveling for the holiday or they have family commitments on Wednesday night, is there a way, a place where they can still donate or contribute in the name of what you guys are doing with Guns and Hoses?
Absolutely. We're going to have, for the first time with our TV broadcast, we're going to have a phone telethon going.
Oh, great.
We're also going to have a deal where you can donate over your phone with an app. So people can donate. And then they can watch the event one of two ways, either on Fox 2, or we're going to be the same production is going to go out on FightTV.com, and there's no charge for either one of those.
That's great. That's great. You know, one of the reasons I asked that too, Steve, is I'm one of these people that's traveling for Thanksgiving, so I wanted to I wanted to know for myself, how can I tune in and how can I donate and all that stuff. So that was partly a selfish question on my part.
That's okay. We want you to watch it and enjoy it. And if you can make a little donation, that's a bonus for us.
That's great. Well, again, Ticketmaster.com for those that want to get their tickets in advance. You can get them at the door. A lot more information at Facebook.com/Budweiser Guns and Hoses. It'll all be televised starting at 7 o'clock Wednesday night on Fox 2. Tom Ackerman's going to be there. Amy Mark's course is going to be there. And, of course, the big stars are the first responders that are going to be there, and, of course, the families of the fallen that we're going to be honoring there as well. So I wish you all the best, Steve. I know it's been a while since you got to pull it off. It sounds like you have a great event. Have fun with that. Happy Thanksgiving. And then afterwards, let's catch up and talk a bit about the impact that all of this is going to have, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd like to thank KMOX for all the support you guys always give us. You've been a great media partner for 34 years, and we appreciate it, and we love hanging out with all you guys.
Looking forward to it, and, you know, it's easy to support a great cause, and you guys do great work. Steve, have fun on Wednesday night. I'll look forward to tuning in on my phone.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. That's Steve Holley. He is the executive director for Guns and Hoses. And, you know, a lot of sporting events, a lot of charity events, you know, here in 2021 have taken hits over, you know, in part because of COVID, right? I mean, some people have changed their kind of patterns of behavior. Obviously, you know, look, we all, you know, saw that a lot of people have gone through some tough times with the economy following the COVID shutdown and all of that. But, you know, this is obviously a great event that can definitely use support, and you can do that in all the ways that we just talked about. So if you're not able to go and you still want to be a part of this, you know, again, you can watch on television. They're going to be posting phone numbers that will allow you to call in and make a donation. You'll be able to do it on an app as well, as Steve said. So definitely a great event, and certainly an amazing cause with the Backstoppers. They are such an important group to all those people that are working as first responders. Plus, you know, the fights are pretty good too. You get a chance to see some really good competition there as well. All right, stick around. We're going to wrap up the week on Sports Open Line with a little bit of, I guess what you could say, a bit of a playoff round for some college football teams this week, in particular for Ohio State, Michigan State, Cincinnati, and maybe even Oregon, and maybe even Alabama. We'll take a look at that coming up next here on KMOX. Gonna wrap it up with a little college football for tonight, and obviously looking ahead at a pretty significant weekend. It's not a weekend that's super loaded with blockbuster games, but we got some basically what are playoff games this weekend in a number of cases. Now, I'll get to that obviously in a second. First up, Mizzou is playing host to Florida, and this is such an interesting game to me for a lot of reasons, and not necessarily good ones for Mizzou, to be honest with you, man. You know, they're taking on a Florida team. Now, again, Florida is 2-5 in the SEC so far. They're 5-5 overall. Mizzou is 2-4 in the SEC overall and 5-5 overall. So you look at it on paper and you're like, all right, these are similar teams. Obviously different in that, you know, it's year two for Eli Drinkwitz, and, you know, they're still trying to kind of get everything going in the right direction. Florida's in the other spot where their coach is probably on his way out the way things are looking. I mean, they've lost three out of their last four. They've lost four out of their last six. They've lost five out of their last seven. I'm sorry, five of their last eight. Sorry, five of their last eight. And, you know, one of them, they actually, you know, you go back to week three, Florida only lost to Alabama by 2 points. They lost that game 31-29. And then they beat Tennessee by 24 points. And here you are early in the year, you're 3-1. You gave Alabama a run for their money. And then you lose to Kentucky on the road by a touchdown. Again, no big deal. And you beat Vanderbilt. And you're like, all right, they're 5-2. They're not that far off of maybe making a run. Not necessarily going to catch Georgia, but not maybe making a run. And then the wheels fell off. You lost. They lost by 7 at LSU, lost by 27 to Georgia, lost by 23 to South Carolina. And then this past week, they beat Samford. That's an FCS team. But they beat them 70-52. They gave up 52 points to an FCS team. And by the way, not even a good FCS team. Samford is 4-6. So the last month, everything has gone bad for Florida. Alumni are upset. Again, Dan Mullen is in real trouble and probably going to lose his job at the end of the season. And yet they're favored by 9.5 over Mizzou this weekend, which is a lot considering this is a home game for Mizzou. So a little surprised at that. But, I mean, I think Florida's the more talented team. I don't think there's any question about that. It's just partly where they've been over the last month. So we got that game. Illinois has another chance to maybe play a little upset. They're on the road at Iowa. I don't think they're going to pull that off. Iowa's usually really tough at home. But the Illini have had a couple of big wins this year. Starting to see a few signs. I mean, the win over Penn State was a big one. The win over Minnesota and holding Minnesota to just 6 points on their home field when they were a top 20 team. A little bit of progress for the Fighting Illini. That's good. I don't know that they'll be able to do it again this weekend, but should be interesting. And then on the big picture scale for this weekend, you've got some playoff type games. At 11 a.m. right out of the gate on ABC, number 7 Michigan State, number 4 Ohio State. The loser of that game is done. You know, that you look at the college football playoff rankings, and, you know, those two teams are right there near the top. And, you know, Ohio State is obviously still the favorite in the Big Ten. They're number 4, so they'd be in the college football playoff as of today. Michigan State is in the number 7 spot. But it wouldn't be all that hard to envision Michigan State jumping into top 4 if they were to pull off this win in Columbus. But so again, this is really a playoff team, because if Ohio State loses a second game, they're not going to make the college football playoff, I wouldn't think. It's not that it's impossible, because a lot of other teams might have two losses as well, but you're pretty close to that point. And obviously, they wouldn't be going to the Big Ten championship game if Michigan State wins. And obviously, if Michigan State loses, they'll be done. So you got some playoff implications on that one. You've also got that same dynamic for Alabama. They're playing Arkansas at 2:30. Arkansas is the number 21 team in the country, showing a little progress this year. And by the way, I should point out, Ohio State is a 19-point favorite over Michigan State. That seems a little big to me. Nonetheless, that's where it stands today. Alabama's a 20-point favorite over Arkansas. I don't think Alabama's going to lose this game. But if they do, probably not going to the college football playoff. Now, I guess they could still do it with two losses if they go out and beat Georgia and win the SEC, and then everybody else has two losses, but still complicates matters a little bit. And then, of course, the other games that have playoff implications this weekend, and I mean the real ones, Oregon's got a big game. They're taking on Utah. And, you know, look, Utah is a tough team pretty much year in and year out. They're tough, man. They're physical. They play good defense. They're tough at home, and that's where they are. They're at home in this game against Oregon. So Oregon wins it, they can stay right there in the mix. I mean, they're the number 3 team in the college football playoff rankings right now. And if they lose, they're probably done. I don't see a Pac-12 team. I don't see Oregon getting in with two losses. You know, the Pac-12's not been strong enough. And, you know, there are so many other teams, you know, there's just as good a chance you get two SEC teams, for example, as you would be able to get a two-loss Oregon team in there. And then the other one, well, it's a playoff game pretty much every week for Cincinnati, and at 2:30 they're hosting SMU. Now, Cincinnati's a 10-point favorite. They're at home. They're probably going to win, but this is one of the games that's on their schedule that could boost them a little bit. I mean, you know, they're the undefeated. Other than Georgia, they're the only undefeated in the college football playoff picture, but they don't play anybody. I mean, they did have the big win against Notre Dame on the road, and that's their signature game. But pretty much everybody else they play is fairly weak, and they've looked bad against some weak teams. They didn't look good against Navy. They didn't look good against Tulane. They didn't look good against Tulsa. And these are all pretty mediocre to bad teams, you know, 500-ish teams at best, and in, you know, Navy's case, well below 500. And they close out with SMU and East Carolina, and then they'll play Houston most likely in the American Conference championship game. So, you know, this is a game. If Cincinnati loses any game, they're done. So, you know, this is a Houston team. I'm sorry, an SMU team that's 8-2. So, you know, there's a little meat on the bone there. You know, they're not some nobody team that doesn't have much of a chance. Now, they haven't really played anybody. SMU's 8-2. The two best teams they've played are Houston and Memphis, and they lost both of those games. The best team they've beaten, I think, is Central Florida. So, again, not a lot there. Central Florida's 6-4, kind of mediocre this year. So, you know, SMU, I don't know how much of a threat they are, but this is a playoff game for Cincinnati as well. So, looking forward to some games. They're nice and spread out today, or this weekend, too, with the Michigan State, Ohio State is kind of the prime game in the early slot, and then you got the two at 2:30 with the SMU-Cincinnati game at Arkansas-Alabama, and, of course, Oregon and Utah is going to be the primetime one that everybody's into because of the playoff implications there. So we'll look forward to seeing how that all plays out tomorrow. That's going to wrap it up for the week, man. I know it's been a weird week. We've had a lot of college basketball. We've got more college basketball, more NFL for you next week, too. We'll have Monday Night Football for you here on KMOX next week. Looking forward to a busy holiday week. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend of college football, Blues hockey, and Billikens basketball, and we'll catch up with you here on Monday here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.